Money Show. Business Unusual.
I do hope he's not had his gin and tonic today. Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent. We're talking a sport that's not really a sport, but it's classified as a sport.
Yeah, don't tell the people who call this a sport that it isn't a sport. Just because they're sitting down while they're playing,
what they're
doesn't make
to be
them athletes.
Sitting on their couch, throw their remote control at my head. Ooh, terrifying.
Indeed. So these are the players, the athletes, the champions of esports. An ever-growing group of sports. There's three broad categories that I'm going to try and cover this evening. But the biggest ones, and part of a little teaser for this show, reflect a little character called Teemo. Not necessarily the most favored character from a game called League of Legends, but I said that he's probably more likely to have an impact on your retirement than just about anything else in the South African economy. In part because Teemo is a character in League of Legends, a PC game built by Tencent, one of the most successful gaming companies on the planet. The most successful, in fact. They also have a mobile version of that League of Legends called Honor of Kings. And combined, those two games account for over 50% of the profits and the income that Tencent make, which accounts for the vast majority of the value for NASPAS, which accounts for a very big chunk of the value of the South African JSE, and retirement funds for their own benefit of their members, make sure they have NASPAS as part of those retirement funds. So when Teemo does well, so do all of us for having a more retirement, a more comfortable retirement.
Suddenly, I like Teemo a whole bunch more than when I first saw him.
Yeah, so let me. So League of Legends is this one. The other one, very famous alongside, is called Dota 2, Defense of the Ancients. Both of those growing out of fans' sort of modification of a much earlier one called World of Warcraft. But I'm going to be mindful of all of the jargon and terminology. Suffice to say that they're known as multiplayer online battle arena. So lots of people come together online and fight for taking over the other guy's sort of side, basically. So just come into the middle. Everybody's got their own little skills and abilities, and you fight to get to the other side. And it started off as being sort of a nerdy sport. I suppose to some degree it's still kind of a nerdy sport for those who are taking part. But when the nerds come out to play and you can start filling stadiums, South Korea filling stadiums, 40,000 plus seater stadiums to watch teams, and teams of like five on a side, battle it out for now millions of dollars worth of tournament prize money, then it all really starts becoming something. So those ones fall into the massive online battle arenas, and the other one are the first-person shooters, and Counter-Strike is the one that is very popular in that regard. Poland, South Korea, the US, South Africa is coming along quite nicely. Just earlier this month, the CTICC hosted the South African finals for the Dota 2, a much smaller affair, but it is growing. And Cape Town has plans to position itself as an esports hub here in South Africa. Not happy with this trying to be the Silicon Valley of South Africa. They want to be the esports hub as well. And then the second part of these sort of electronic games are ones that mirror virtual. Well, they're the virtual versions of real sports. And football and racing are the two best known. In fact, the Formula One racing season kicks off on Friday. And alongside it, every Grand Prix will be those competing to become the Grand Prix champion using Formula One. And you might think, well, this is somebody having some fun with a driving game, but it's actually gotten to the point where racing is such an expensive sport to find good drivers, and the games have progressed to become so realistic that they actually are hiring drivers on the ability for them to play those games. Formula One drivers currently use the games to help get them acquainted with the new tracks that they'll be riding on, because the tracks have been measured, digitized, and put into these games so accurately that every little bump and dip and whatever is in there, and then the car's mechanics, the physics that the car will do when you brake too hard or accelerate poorly, and what the car is, will be mirrored in the game to the point where you can almost say what you're doing in virtual you could possibly do in the real world. I know, and this is thanks to massive improvements in computer processing power, graphic cards abilities, and controllers that can keep up with all of these things. So that's the second one, with the virtual one. Football, even more crazy, because you understand that's the world's most popular sport, and you don't just get to play as one player, you get to play as the entire team. And in fact, the FIFA World Cup was played on the 18th of August this year. And England won. So that's something for them to haven't had one of those wins for a while. Yes, what was his name? Spencer Gorilla Ealing won $200,000, has been the last man standing playing as England on the 18th of August this year. And you can imagine when you've got so many people wanting to play and so many people that are watching, you've got a lot of people wanting to bet. And so the gambling sort of opportunities have grown up around this, where even this month a new cryptocurrency token is looking to be issued to sort of facilitate more of this. A lot of it is still very unregulated or simply illegal. It hasn't stopped people necessarily looking to do it. And I tell you what, if you had to go onto YouTube, for example, and search for Dota 2, in fact, League of Legends, let's go for League of Legends, you'll find 32.5 million videos uploaded for it.
No.
And that's still nothing compared to Twitch TV, which is the real gaming home of people who want to watch and play games, because it allows gamers to just live stream them actually playing their games while they're playing it for the benefit of others who just want to watch.
Hold on. Twitch TV, you sit at home watching your TV, watching people watching their TVs playing the games.
And there are often 20, 30, 40,000 people all connected to one particular player who's busy. He's like, so then I go down here and then I shoot this guy. But watch out for this guy. There's a bit up over there. Yeah, that's how it works. And they can post their life.
But it's like digital reality TV. It's completely not real, but it's in the digital world and people are getting obsessed with this stuff.
Well, hat tip to Naspers, DSTV has a 24-hour gaming channel as part of the Super Sport series channel bouquet now. So they get it. They understand that this is where it's going. And, you know, younger people are a little more enamored with the computer versions of some of these sports than the actual real-world sports. So they're chasing and they want to make sure they've got space to look after those dollars. So that's what they're doing.
Do you have any idea of the value of this worldwide, this incredible phenomenon?
I have seen lots of numbers that didn't all square up and different reports from different people. Suffice to say, the only consensus seems to be, wow, it's growing really quicker than anybody thought. I mean, the first sort of tournament game on really rubbish little ping machine was back in the 70s. And in 1983, there was an actual Space Invaders tournament. But those are a far cry from what you see these days, given the scale and the power of the machines. In fact, Elon Musk has got a company called OpenAI, and as a way of showcasing what AI can do, despite him being sort of very cautious about us going too far with it, he challenged one of these players with a bot. And the bot did very, very well. So not only can we expect humans to want to be playing these things, we can imagine there's going to be all sorts of competition coming from other ones. And just to get you an idea of how crazy the investment is becoming, actual football clubs, Paris Saint-Germain, one of the large football clubs in the world, have an esports team that is part of their normal squads for the purposes of not only being keeping up with what is happening in the world of football, but finding and understanding how these new games are going to get more investment and certainly TV money. And of course, they as companies really need to make sure they can keep up with that. But it gets weirder still, I must tell you, because there are some digital sports that have grown out of those. Drone racing, you've probably seen before. So, you know, the normal.
Oh, yeah, but that's real and that's exciting. I mean, you can crash the drone and it can break and you'll have to buy a new one.
Yeah.
That I get.
And the thing isn't just that you've got these new crazy little things that can race things and you know, lots of crashes and thrills and spills, but they make them fly through courses inside stadiums that'll have them whizzing over your heads and then flying behind the back of you. And then you can put on your headset and you can see the point of view from inside the drone and you're watching all of that going on. They then took that idea and they said, well, hang on, what if we took Formula One racing and AI and the fact that these cars can sort of race at breakneck speeds, and they created robo-races. And it's still very new. They're electric racing cars that are driven by robots. So there's no humans controlling the cars, in which case they say, just keep going faster. And of course, they're kind of rubbish at the moment, so they crash a lot. But that's kind of half the reason why I think some people watch this stuff, and away you go. And then the final element that sort of brings this crazy esports world back into focus again, it's not just that it's about to become an Olympic sport. The paperwork is busy being filed. Maybe done as soon as 2020. It's very likely in Paris in 2024 you'll be watching this on your screen and saying, huh, what am I looking at here? It is a fully fledged medal sport for the Asian Games in 2022. And next you'll be able to watch it as sort of a demonstration game. But it's what stadium makers and big clubs are thinking they're going to have to do to compete with this stuff. And I think it's very clever. Besides adding more cameras and ways for people in a stadium to watch what's going on with real football, the idea is to improve the ability to project things onto the field. Maybe we'll get to the point, in fact, I think it's quite likely just how long, that they will have these very high-resolution holographic images projected onto the field of games that have possibly taken place somewhere else. So
finally, we can get the World Cup stadiums to pay for themselves.
Yes, you can have the World Cup played anywhere in the world and have people rock up at a stadium and watch the match right there. That is probably a very compelling reason to have the world's best sports tournaments hosted at your local stadium every week. And so rather than this being a way, which we often look at, it's like, oh, it's going to kill the traditional sports stadium. It may just be the thing to save them.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual on a Wednesday night.